This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Sponsored by Saligny Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Well, that last night was the comeback of all comebacks. I mean, my goodness gracious. Cardinals didn't have a hit until the seventh inning, and they come alive in the ninth. They score four runs. They beat the Pirates 4-2. Did you know, Chris Ronji, that the previous three games at Pittsburgh, they didn't score a run? So this would have been the fourth time they were shut out in a row?
Just felt like a little continuation of it, didn't it? Yeah. Like, here we go. But sure enough, they got it done.
They sure did. They got the job done, and the Cardinals picked up a very nice win. Final score was 4-2, and they do it in J.J. Weatherholt's hometown of Pittsburgh. He grew up just outside of Pittsburgh, about a half hour from PNC Park, and they find a way. That's kind of the theme of this Cardinals team. They find a way. We're going to be joined by Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol here momentarily. Bernie Miklas. Is Bernie with us? Bernie is with us. My video is not working, so I can't see you, big dog, but I know that you can see me. And that's
as long
all.
As you can hear me, brother.
I can hear you. You know, that's all that really matters is the KMOX listeners hear you. By the way, breaking news, the three of us are going to do this show, not with Ollie, but we're going to do the show tomorrow. And we're going to give an extra day of Bernie because we have a day game on Thursday. So we're not going to have Bernie on Thursday, no Gas House Gang Thursday. So we thought we'd just bring him over Wednesday.
Early contest on Thursday.
It. Yeah, we'll just do some more. Yeah. There's so much to talk about, Bernie.
Yeah, there is. And can I just throw something in here? I feel like I really should. And this is no reflection on the Cardinals TV crew. I don't want it. I just don't want it to be interpreted that way. But you know, this season, I've really gotten back in the habit of listening to John Rooney and Ricky Horton. And what appreciation I have for the job they do. And I tell you what, that ninth inning last night, Rooney and Horton were, it was basically perfection. I mean, it was so great. It enhanced the excitement that was there, even though it was already rich with excitement. But the way those guys called it, analyzed it, reacted to it, it just gave it just added to the enjoyment of the whole experience. I just wanted to tip my cap to those guys. They're so terrific.
Couldn't agree more. They are phenomenal. I mean, they really are, and they've got a great engineer with them on the road in Ryan Schulte that makes them sound good. But man, those two, John and Ricky, Klaibs too. I mean, when Klaibs is with them, they're great.
Yeah.
But John and Ricky have now developed this chemistry between the two of them.
Yeah, they're really good. Yeah. And I've told this, I've said it a million times, but I started my job at the White Sox the year after John left to come here to be with the Cardinals. And of course, he won back-to-back rings. And I will tell you that Sox fans were livid that they let John Rooney go. I'm not kidding you. It took them a long time to get over that because that broadcast team of Farmer and Rooney was really, really good.
Yes, it was. Joining us is the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. That's Oliver Marmol. I know you're happy this morning and last night. What a performance by your team in the ninth inning to steal one. And I mean go in there and steal one in Pittsburgh 4-2.
Nah, how are we doing? It is nice to be on the other side of that one and be able to steal a game. Because the first seven innings of that ball game were not a whole lot of fun. Not a whole lot of action on the offensive side. I think we hit one ball hard. It might have been Mason's ground ball to second base, but outside of that, we were fairly quiet. But it was cool to see Petey do what he did, and then JJ at home in front of his family. That was awesome, man. That was really cool. And then to be able to put that whole inning together was great.
Ollie, take us back to the dugout last night. So Sajacy grounds out to open the ninth. The win expectancy at that point for the Cardinals was like 3%. And then it just started rolling and rolling and rolling. And, you know, the cameras would cut in and we could see your face and all, but you're taking it in. But what was it like in the dugout as that whole thing played out the way it did? Because that was a pretty phenomenal comeback.
The dugout was still fairly loose. It went from frustration the first four innings or so to guys looking around and kind of taking jabs at each other because of where the game was at and our inability to record a hit. But the conversations were still really good in trying to find a way to get on the board. Burleson smokes that ball down the third baseline to break up the perfect game, which was great. And it allowed the guys to loosen up a little bit and finish that game the way it did. But, man, a couple walks there. It was just the way that inning played out was really good. And for me to come through with a big hit there was awesome. And then we took the defense and Urias and Scott going into the game there to finish it off. And Soriano closes it out. But the overall commitment to that inning was great.
Does a win like that have any sort of lasting impact on a team, and in particular younger players who are just, you know, now starting to be in the big leagues?
Yes and no. Like the way we want to take games like that, you learn from the beginning of that game and what we could do better in order for it not to get into the late innings before we start doing what we did. But you also don't want them to feel the other side of that, where you have a series like the Mariners and you carry it into the next game or the next game, right? So you enjoy what we were able to do last night. We were able to steal a game. You gain confidence in kind of we're never out of a game. But then you move on to the next, and you move on to what we need to do today to beat these guys. So, yeah, you enjoy it for a minute, you learn from it, and then you move on.
Ollie, I felt like there were so many parts to that game and so many people that contributed, you know, and we'll get to JJ in a minute because that was really special for him to do it in front of all those people.
Yeah, for sure.
But doesn't it start with, a lot of things, but Ryan Fernandez, man. I mean, that is a performance that I think perhaps could carry him through his next few appearances if he feels good enough about what he did there. I mean, that was pretty special.
So, and we need it, right? We need the combination of the Fernandez and Swansons to start to feel a little bit more confident and pitch like he did last night. That was really good. Four punch outs and just fastball had good life, good vertical break to it. The slider was a good pitch, used some change. So overall, like, that's what we need out of him. And the more guys that start to pitch with that style of confidence out of our pen is going to be extremely helpful. But yeah, my hope is that he can carry that on to his next one.
Ollie, watching Dustin May, you know, starting to get a feel for him, starting to get an appreciation, sure, and understanding like what makes him good. And it's really interesting. I mean, the last four starts have been terrific. Your team's 4-0 in those starts, which says a lot. But last night, that game, you know, sometimes Dustin has that tendency, like in the first inning, gives up some hard contact. He's got to work out of some jams, but he gets better and better and better. What's been the key to his success over these? I think he's got a 1.93 ERA over these last four games, and his ability to navigate through that early trouble.
Yeah, just the ability to refocus is part of this, right? To your point, there's been some hard contact, gives up the run, and his ability to not allow it to snowball, but refocus and take care of what's in front of him on the very next pitch has been a big part of it. And just the overall mentality of staying on the attack. We saw the first couple outings where fell behind guys. He's not in favorable counts. He has to come in the zone, gets hit hard, and it just kind of continues to spiral. The mentality has been better of just being on the attack, letting his stuff play in the zone and then playing for the chase when needed. But I like where he's at right now, and he's going to continue to get better. We're going to take care of him from a health standpoint, but his overall mentality, and he's a competitor, man, and he shows it when he's out there. And our position players love playing behind him because there's this fire to everything he does. If you look at the third out of almost every inning, there's an excitement on his part. And you look at Mason and JJ and these guys behind him, man, they get fired up when they get to play behind him. So it's been fun, but the last couple outings have been really good.
Yeah. And he, you know, one of the things, he doesn't walk people, and he doesn't give up big flies. I mean, he limits extra base hits, so they may scratch him up a little bit, but they're not going to land that big blow. I mean, that's really cool to watch him fight. Good example for your young guys. Speaking of young guys, I don't know what to say about J.J. Weatherholt. I mean, we just gush about him because it looks like he's been doing this in the big leagues for 10 years. How can a guy that young and inexperienced be so fearless in so many situations where nothing makes him flinch at all? Tell us about his personality.
It's probably the best way to ask that, because it has nothing to do with his confidence in the game, and it has a lot more to do with him knowing who he is as a person. And he's not shy. He never shies away from speaking about his faith and kind of what he's anchored to. And I really do believe that's what gives him the overall strength and mentality that he takes into the game. Like, this kid's not worried about what you guys think about him. And that's a really good thing. He didn't care about a whole lot other than being consistent with who he is and what he believes and then playing the game a certain way. And whether it goes well or not, his identity is not tied to just being a baseball player. He's going to do that to the best of his ability, but that's not what he's anchored to in the least. And I respect that a ton. He's going to show up every day. He's going to be a very consistent person. And at the end of the day, when you put him in a situation where the game's on the line, he's not going to make much of it. He's going to approach every situation the same way. I had a brief conversation with him yesterday before the game. A lot of people here, a lot of media asking you questions. He's like, yeah, it is what it is. Can't wait for the game to start. And he's just not going to make much of anything. But at the end of the day, he knows exactly who he is as a person and what he needs to do on the field. And he's going to do that every day. So I love the mentality that he brings to the table, man. For as young as he is, what makes him who he is on the field is actually because of everything of what he believes he is as a person and what he brings to the table. So I absolutely love it.
That personality he has, how unusual is it really for a young player?
Man, it is unusual because I don't care what people say, they're lying when it comes to not allowing outside noise to influence their behavior. I don't care who you are, man. I've been around some really good people, and whether that's Albert, whether that's Waino, like you name them, they're lying if they tell you that it doesn't impact some of what goes on a day-to-day, man. And I've had some really good conversations with them, and they've opened up about experiencing that and how they process pressure, how they get on the other side of it, like some of the things they've had to do in order to operate at a higher level once they experience that. And to see it in a young player is rare. It really is. It's a trait you don't see very often. And I give him a lot of credit, man, because it's not easy to do. And the way he approaches the game of baseball is heavily influenced by what he believes in outside of it. Like, his faith plays a big part in who he is, man, and he's not going to be shaken up by a whole lot when it comes to this game. And I love that about him.
I'll tell you another one is Mason Winn. And I think maybe sometimes we take it for granted because he's been around for a while. You don't, Ollie, but I'm just saying, you know, we're sitting here watching this guy. He's been playing for a while. He's won a gold glove. He's been the starting shortstop for a while. He just turned 24. Yeah. He's so young. That play that he made yesterday in the fourth inning was an outstanding play. I mean, where he slides, makes the play, he cuts down the runner in a rundown. I mean, that is some special stuff.
It really was a big play. And this is what I really do think we've done a nice job of, is not giving up the extra 90 feet. You look at Walker cutting down a run the other day, Church doing the same. Like, we've had opportunities where the opposition has just given us outs. And if we make an overthrow, or like, it would cost us. And our guys have done a really nice job. If the opposition is going to give us anything, we're going to take it. We're not good enough right now to make mistakes and get away with it and still win ball games. We know we have to be on point defensively and on the bases, and the guys have been locked into making sure we do that well. But that play yesterday with Mason, man, he was frustrated that he didn't come up clean with that and get the out at first, but he stays locked in enough to check the runner at third and record the out there, which is a big play. He came into the dugout and I say, hey, nice job there. He goes, no, I'm pissed, because that's a hit on May, and that shouldn't have been the case, right? So his mentality is always going to be on the aggressive side of not allowing anything to ever happen. But that's what makes him good, man. He's a top defender for a reason.
Ali, one thing that's been pretty consistent with your team all year is the offense you're getting from the catcher position. But the thing that's amazing, and this will make you happy, because I'm gonna basically raise my hand and say, I can't believe how ignorant I've been in not recognizing, Pages has turned into a really good hitter, and that is backed up by the stats. If you go, I went back to last August, and just to give you the shorthand version, since early last August, so we're talking about 170 plate appearances or so, he is a top 10 catcher offensively in the big leagues. No hype, no BS. You're aware of that, but what is it about him to where he really is an asset offensively? And I frankly, I never thought that would be the case, but he is.
a lot of people are not going to like your comment there, Bernie, because they're always chasing that next shiny toy, and that being we have a lot of catching prospects coming, and that's a good thing for the organization, right? But what Petey has done is super positive for a lot of reasons, because he's providing value on the defensive side. If you talk to our pitchers, if you were to put a mic in front of all of our pitchers and allow them to give 30 seconds on Petey, you would understand in a heartbeat why he's back there as much as he is. Okay. You set that aside. He's making improvements offensively, and he's going to continue to. He's working hard at it. It's getting better. There's more room there. But he has done a nice job, to your point. But it also allows you to not have to rush and bring in some of these guys up that need to continue to develop in certain areas and check certain boxes in AAA. So I love where we're at when it comes to the combo of the guys that are up here in the catching position and then what we have coming up. It's the competition is great. But to your point, Petey has provided a lot of value, and not only defensively, but he's making strides offensively as well.
You're listening to Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol live on KMOX on the Gas House Gang. We have another segment coming. Cardinal baseball coming your way with a 5:40 start against the Pirates this evening.
Now, back to All Access with Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol. Sponsored by Window World. Simply the best for less. Siteman Cancer Center. National leaders in cancer. And by Circa Sports. Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be. On the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Boy, still just thinking about that ninth inning last night. Four runs, back-to-back home runs, Pajes and Weatherholt. Burleson with that little squibber down the line that stays fair. And Jordan Walker had a walk and all the things that happened. Jose Fermin delivering that bases-loaded double to drive in a couple. And the Cardinals win the ball game 4-2. George Soriano closes it out. Just everybody. There's so much going on there. With Ollie Marmol, the Cardinals manager, and Bernie Miklas, I'm Tom Ackerman. Chris Ranji in studio.
Yeah, you mentioned Walker, who did get that walk last night, reaching base there. A couple of strikeouts for him. And Ollie, the strikeouts have ticked up a little bit with him since the start of the Cleveland series. He is still hitting the ball hard, but you know, the average just a bit over 200. That OPS has dropped quite a bit. I mean, so when you look at this current stretch, do you look at it as just a bit of a slump? Do you look at it as something greater? How do you view what's been going on with him for about a week and a half or 2 weeks?
A great opportunity is the way I view it. And I'm not just saying that. I'm glad he didn't start this way. Right? Because now we have this reference point of what it looks like, what he's thinking about when things are going well. So I'm glad we got off to a hot start, hit the 8 homers, driving the ball all over the park, using the whole field, a lot of his homers being backside, like all those things are real positive. And now it's baseball. You know, there's going to be this lull coming. You don't know how long it's going to last, but we have something to point to now that gives him confidence. And that's a big deal. So yeah, it's not, the punch out rate is higher than you want it to be. He's not impacting the ball. He's chasing that slider down and away some. And this is a perfect opportunity for him to start to reel it back in and understand that when you are the guy that the other team is not going to allow to let them beat him, there's a level of focus and commitment that goes with that, man, where you're going to have the script again and force them back in the zone. So I see this as a great opportunity and a back and forth that he's going to have his whole career. So he's working hard. The commitment's there, and now it's a matter of continuing to run him out there and allow him to make some of these adjustments that are necessary. But no, this is a great opportunity for Walker, man. He's handling it well, though. I'll tell you that.
We're going to see Kyle Leahy tonight, Andre Pallante tomorrow night, and then the day game against Paul Skeens. It's Hunter Dobbins. It's kind of nice to talk about a new pitcher, but also someone that we've seen pitch against the Cardinals before, and we actually have gotten to see him work through this ACL injury. How's he doing?
He's doing well. He's excited to be back, man. The rehab went well for him. He was able to check a lot of boxes. Obviously, in spring training, he took the mound on the backfield quite a bit because we were limiting the PFP, him kind of running off the mound and doing different things. So it was a more controlled environment for him than pitching in the stadium. But he's in a good spot. Feels really good, and I'm excited as everybody else to see him toe the rubber on Thursday.
Let's go talk about your rotation some more. I wanted to go back to Saturday, and I'm not trying to bring up a negative, but I'm just interested in Matthew Liberatore because you know, there's a lot of hopes for him, and that was a rough yeah. day. You were in a spot where maybe you could have tried to squeeze more innings out of him because save your.
You got to leave the loss burning.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Go ahead.
You got me now?
Yeah, we got you,
you
buddy.
Can finish it. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. But you could have maybe tried to milk a little bit more to save your bullpen, but you pulled him after 3 1/3. Tell us about the process, the thinking there.
Man, yeah, there's actually a lot that went into that one. And I think about it in a couple different ways. With a young pitcher like Libby, who's you want him to be able to work through some stuff. I think it's important for him to learn how to work through different situations, especially when you don't have your best stuff. Like, how do you navigate those games? But with how he felt with his body not being timed up, he's not getting pitches to where he wants to. It's just not one of those days for him. I'm not sure how much we were going, like how much growth opportunity there really was there. And when you have an outburst the way we did against an ace like Wu, that's a big deal. And I'm sitting there, and what I will say, Bernie, and Haim has said this several times, I've said it, like, you can't just ask fans to come back to the stadium. You earn that. And when you look at Friday, you look at Saturday, and you look at Sunday, Busch felt different. It was a pretty cool environment, and people showed up, and you're sitting there on Saturday, your offense is doing what they're doing. They're hitting homers all over the place. The crowd is excited. And I felt like it was an opportunity to just reward that man and not let a starter just continue to wear it. You take your shot and you empty out your bullpen and you use JoJo and you use Riley and you try to win that game and give the people that paid money to be there something to get excited about again. And if I'm being honest, if we're in Pittsburgh or Cincinnati on the road and that's happening to Libby, No, I'm being completely honest with you. I might let it ride a little bit longer. But because we're talking about what we're talking about, people showed up and they're showing up again. And it's been fun to see, like, give them something to get excited about. So we empty out, we take our shot, it doesn't work. But I'll tell you right now, like, I don't care that we have seven, like, I would do it all over again. I think we took the appropriate shot. They got to our best two guys in JoJo and Riley, and you move on. But I felt like the opportunity, that's what it called for, and I'm glad we did it.
Talking about that in the crowds that are at Busch Stadium on certain nights, and, you know, it's been thinner, and as we've all experienced.
Yeah.
What do you think has to be done in order to get people back? Is it as simple as winning? Because, you know, we've seen the team do well and people may not show up necessarily. Is it that? Is it a feel? Is it a personality of the team? What do you think it is that brings people back to the ballpark?
I think St. Louis likes watching a team that plays the game the right way, that plays the game hard, that never gives in. And those are the things we can control and we'll hold ourselves. I'll hold myself accountable to, and then let everything else play out. But I think it's hard not to like this group. It's hard to watch them and not get excited about their style of play. So those are the things we can control at the moment. And the things I'm excited about, our staff's excited about doing every day. So that's the best way I can answer that question.
It's 12:30. We're going to send Ollie Marmol on his way as he gets ready to head back to PNC Park for a game against the Pirates. We will end it on that note. Congrats on a thrilling victory and good luck tonight against the Pirates, Ollie.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Good to be with Ollie Marmol, Cardinals manager. Bernie, Chris, and I return for much more baseball discussion until the top of the hour, plus our Budweiser toast is coming. I wonder who's going to get that. Back after this on KMOX.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is sponsored by Stewart's American Mortgage, home of the Bagel Loan, and by Celica Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
Yes, indeed. We have some great sponsors, including Budweiser. They're going to have our toast coming up. I wonder who we're going to toast. We'll do that in our final segment. Cardinals and Pirates, Kyle Leahy against Braxton Ashcraft tonight with a 5:40 start. How about this stat? The Cardinals have now 10 comeback wins. Only the Diamondbacks and Dodgers have more. D-backs with 12, Dodgers with 11. This one got me, Bernie. No team in Major League Baseball has more home runs in the seventh inning or later than the Cardinals. 16 home runs in the seventh inning or later. That is remarkable. A team that I think we were wondering where the power was going to come from. They've been able to come through late.
It is amazing that they're at their best late in games, and that, you know, that can be statistically verified, as you just did. But, you know, in a lot of different categories. I mean, you get them into the fifth inning and this doesn't happen every game, you know, but they're kind of cold early, you know, generally speaking. But once the fifth inning kicks in, then it's like, okay, you know, get your popcorn, because that's kind of when they come alive. And I don't know whether it's a matter of getting into the other team's bullpen or what, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Late in games, they have been terrific, and we saw it again last night. You know, the one thing about this team, and this goes in line, Tom, with what you just said, with all the comebacks and the spirited play, and that was a joy to watch that last night, and it was unexpected. I didn't see it coming, but it happened again, and they were about to lose their fifth in a row, and then all of a sudden, it's like, what? You know, over the last 2 years, 2025 and this year, you know, more than half the Cardinals' wins have been comebacks. I think that's a remarkable stat. I mean, it's not easy to keep coming back over and over and over again, but they have. This is the second year in a row where they do it a lot. I mean, they do it frequently relative to other major league teams. So I've never really questioned how hard these guys play and compete, or how much they want to win. I mean, it's easy to start flinging that stuff around if a team's got a bad day at the ballpark, they look kind of flat, not much has happened. You know, you just kind of like, well, I guess they didn't want to play today. And listen, mm-hmm. I've said that stuff, so I'm not taking shots at anybody else. But I don't doubt this team when it comes to wanting to compete and really believe in they can win any game. Maybe if it's 12-0, maybe not so much, but you know what I'm saying.
So the believing in that you can win any game, that's a key for me. And this is coming from somebody who, I'm a Bears fan, as you know, and I watched them make all those comebacks last year. At some point, if you keep doing that as a team, it becomes a thing. It becomes a thing that the team starts to think about. It becomes a thing that other teams start to think about, that, oh, we better be careful because this team's always coming back late. And it may not be a sustainable thing where they can keep this up all year long. But if you start to be known as that team that once you get to the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, you better be careful, then that's a benefit for you, whether it's real or perceived. I mean, if you keep doing it, that's a pretty big deal. And for me, I think that's a thing that the younger players can build on. You know, you take that confidence that you can win a game late. No matter where you are, you're down 2, you're down 3, you know you have an opportunity to come back every night. That has huge psychological benefits.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're fun to watch. I feel that way whether they lost 4 in a row, almost 5. I never got tired of watching them. I never thought, this isn't worth my time. Because this will sound strange because I know it's all about winning, but even when the Cardinals lose games, Most of the time, they manage to make it really entertaining because they play a lot of close games and it goes down to the wire and you never know what's going to happen. And it gets your emotions roiling. Like those two losses those three losses to Seattle were really, you're watching this. They can't score enough on Friday or Sunday. They have opportunities. They can't get a big hit. So I'm sure fans are kind of like, but yet it's got your attention. And then, you know, the home run derby game on Saturday, that got your attention all the way to the end. So even in a losing game, they managed to be highly entertaining most of the time. And I that's kind of unusual. I really think that's kind of unusual.
It is. And when you compare it to some of these teams out there, as LBT Titan mentions, a lot of big spending organizations playing uninspired, crappy baseball, he says. The Cards lack talent, not fight. No, that's true. The Cardinals, according to FanGraphs, have a projected payroll of $98 million. That is 24th in baseball. The number two team, the Mets, $370 million. We know by now they are one of the worst teams in baseball. The Phillies fired their manager today, Rob Thompson, $286 million payroll. The number seven payroll in baseball is Houston at $237 million. They were beaten by the Cardinals, and they are currently a last-place team. Let's not leave out, by the way, the American League champion, Toronto Blue Jays, are the fourth-ranked payroll in baseball. And they have a losing record at $290 million. So Bernie and Chris, I mean, it goes to show you. Now, you're a Cardinals fan. You may say, oh, well, the real negative ones are going to be like, oh, you're just protecting Bill DeWitt here. He should be spending more. No. This is a rebuild right now, and it just shows you can't sit there and just write checks. Doesn't work that way. You got to have a plan.
No, it doesn't. I imagine that for some of those teams that, you know, as we get deeper into the season, things will even out a little bit and the talent's going to start to surface. But I mean, maybe not. You can play yourself into a big enough hole you can never play out of, and that's possible. But I mean, for me, I feel consistently the same about this Cardinals team that I'm not expecting wins. I'd like to see him in there, and I love the fact, like Bernie said, there are moments where I'm still getting into it. Like, come on, you know. Like, I mean, I'm fully aware of what 2026 Cardinals baseball is all about. I know that, but it doesn't mean that along the way I can't get excited about wins or comebacks or get upset if they blow a game late. You know, that I love that I feel that way. That I'm not just saying, "Oh, screw it, who cares? It doesn't really matter." And that's a good thing. And I think by the time we get to the end of the season, or at least my hope is, that I know what a successful year is going to look like, at least in my opinion. And that is that guys like Weatherholt and Walker and the younger players show real progress, because that gives them a head start for next year. That, to me, is the most important thing. I just hope that we can see a lot more wins, comeback wins, the one-run wins, and they're still great in that. They got a 714 winning percentage in one-run games. So as long as they keep doing that and giving us those along the way, this will be a fun year.
Yeah, and Tom, it's kind of a high wire act all the time. Like, for example, you know, they've won 15 games, and this is what I'm talking about. And this also speaks to you and speaks to Ron's, what you guys have said. So their 15 wins have come by a total of 32 runs, which means they're winning their games by an average of about 2 runs a game, just a little bit over 2 runs a game. And so they take this thing to the limit. Because of the bullpen problems, and there are big ones, you're never quite sure that a victory is in the bag. Now, when Riley O'Brien is healthy, when he's rested and all that, you feel pretty good about it. But you're never sure it's in the bag when they're winning, because the games are so close most of the time. And then when they're behind in games, again, it's never really over until, you know, the other team's high-fiving everyone. So people can say whatever they want about us being supportive of this team. I admire the manager and the coaches and the players and the whole vibe they have. I think it's pretty cool. I think it's entertaining. And I see no reason to try to pander to anyone who's angry to try to gain approval. Oh, see, he's a tough guy. See, he'll tell it like it is. No, I don't.
Bernie froze up for a second, but I almost admire sometimes the persistence of negative people. Like, how do you continue to go down that road? And that, look, I mean, be who you want to be. I really don't care. If you're a fan, you pay the money, you go do whatever you want. You can boo, sit there and sulk. I do not care. I really don't.
Hey, we got a couple of them on the we have a couple of persistent unhappy people on our if you're watching on YouTube, leaving a message, Facebook, Twitter, you can watch and comment on the show. We got a couple.
There's a YouTube commenter who has changed his name multiple times, and the reason I know that is because he uses a space bar before his exclamation point. You got to clean it up, buddy. Yeah, it's a tell. I'm like a hitting coach. I see your tell.
Bernie Nicholas on KMOX is sponsored by Stewart's American Mortgage, home of the bagel loan, and by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin comfort dealer.
Swing and a high drive to center field. Get up, baby. Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah. David Freeze has just sent us into game number 7. This series is tied 3-3 with a walk-off home run here in the bottom of the 11th inning. The Cardinals win it 10-9. Unbelievable.
The call from Mike Shannon on KMOX Game 6 of the 2011 World Series. David Freese tied it with a triple after Josh Hamilton put him up 9-7. The Cardinals chipped away again. Lance Berkman tied the game. Jake Westbrook worked the top of the 11th scoreless. And in the bottom of the 11th, David Freese with a walk-off home run to win it 10-9. He had a big hit in the first inning the next day in Game 7. And the Cardinals went on to win the World Series. It is our Budweiser Toast of the Week, presented by Budweiser. For 150 years, This Bud's for you. We are holding some ice cold Budweiser long necks. In fact,
How are you?
I'm going to get after it. Matt Pajeski's got himself one over there. Bernie, sorry we couldn't get to you in time.
In your bunker.
But David Fries, actually, we're toasting him because it is his birthday today. David is 43 today, so happy birthday, David. I actually wished him a happy birthday today. We went back and forth a little bit. He's going to be in town pretty soon to catch some Cardinals games. And he said, hey, it looks like you guys are playing some exciting ball up there. And he was enjoying seeing the club do what they do, Bernie. And I know that, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Memphis Mafia when they came in and started to make an impact. The Cardinals had some superstars, don't get me wrong, but they had some young players contributing and trying to make a career out of it.
John Jay was really, really important to that 2011 team. You know, one of the reasons they traded Colby Rasmus to fix their bullpen, and also in a three-way trade to get a starting pitcher, Edwin Jackson, did a really nice job for the Cardinals down the stretch. He really did. But they felt comfortable because Rasmus was a fine player, pretty good, but, you know, maybe not the most highly motivated guy. And I think Tony La Russa just wanted a guy with more fire who was going to get after it. So that decision, it wasn't just about trading Rasmus. It was also about saying, we believe in John Jay. We believe he can handle this job. We got enough offense. We got enough people to do certain things. We need a guy to play good defense. Just be a smart, tough, honest player, and let's go with this. And so, yeah, you had Jay. You had Daniel Descalso. You know, and you look at the 2012 team, you know, that series in Washington where the Cardinals came way from behind the fifth and final game. You know, you had Descalso and Pete Cosma, you know, delivering the big hits, things like that. Yeah, there was one I'm leaving guys out. There was one Alan Craig, of course, in 2011. There was one Memphis guy after another. They just kept coming on that leaving train from Memphis and arriving in St. Louis. And they had a really important role on that team. Because when you win a championship, man, you know, I think people think it's like, well, you got a bunch of superstars. The Cardinals have had a lot of stars. But it takes 25 in those days, 25 to win a championship. And because of what was there in Memphis, the Cardinals had a pretty complete team. They really did.
You know, and Jay and Descalso have turned into pretty good coaches, too.
Oh, yeah.
And people still love them. They got to they went with Ollie to deliver the game ball for the City SC game, got recognized there, got a nice ovation. And I think that's it. I don't think that as an organization, you have to always hire guys who have played in your organization. Sometimes it's nice to have somebody from the outside with a different viewpoint, but it is pretty cool. The Cardinals do have a good amount of that, a good amount of people who came up in the organization, who played for the team in some capacity, who ended up coming back to coach. I think it's not necessary, but I think it's really cool that they can do that and they can all be successful at it.
I totally agree. So it's fun to go back and look at those historic moments like David's and say, there's a guy right there. You know, he was traded to the Cardinals for Jim Edmonds, and not many people knew who he was, knew he was a local product. He becomes a hero, and he wasn't a superstar that they signed via free agency. They are able to find these players, and that's going to be one of the things that's going to have to make the Cardinals back to a championship level, is to find them.
Hey, final word for me anyway. Don't forget about the Elvis of the Memphis Mafia. The Elvis. That, of course, would be Lance Lynn.
Oh, very nice.
Don't forget about that. Right?
How about
right.
This? Lance Lynn will be my analyst on ESPN Plus for the Missouri Valley Conference baseball tournament.
Oh, how about that?
We're doing that together. I'm fired up to work with him.
I love Lance Lynn, man.
I love that dude.
Yeah, yep.
He's all into it, too. He's been doing his research. He's ready. We appreciate you, Bernie. We will actually, the three of us will be back tomorrow.
That's right.
On the Gas House Gang. I'm excited about that.